Hey, aren't you Todd Neese? The
legend? Depends who's asking.
Boy, this is weird, man. It's like deja vu. Didn't we just go through this before?
It does seem familiar.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I swear, like, I've had the same experience. I drove in
to
a campground.
You had more hair back then.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Because I swear it was like a couple hours ago. So
I know. I was wondering what happened to you that your hair turned all gray.
Well, maybe it was that first experience with you.
So, all right. So the first thing I want to do before I even get started is I want to just say that this is my first time at an event where I've actually been invited to speak. And I've been doing Encounters USA, a podcast, for I think since 2018. And so I've talked to a lot of people, and early on, Ron Moorhead, I asked him if I could interview him for my podcast. Absolutely, no problem. Todd Neese, no problem. So I've had a lot of help from people that didn't even know who I was. So I just like to say thank you to Todd and Ron and anybody else who has participated and helped me out to get my podcast going. I really appreciate that. And if you follow it, I get involved in a lot of different things. So I haven't posted for a while, but depending on the election results. And also remember that this election thing is also part of this, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But if I don't survive the primary and the general, then I'll be back to doing Encounters USA. But I have a lot of projects that I want to work on. And so I've talked to people here, and I'd like to, you know, get involved with you guys and some of the stuff that you're doing, because one thing that I heard just this morning talking, I've heard, let's see, Bob was talking about using music to entice Bigfoot, right? We're going to hear a little bit about that. I've heard Larry talking about how Bigfoot is attracted to people with an intuitive personality, people who are empaths, who have the ability to understand things or to understand the feelings and emotions of people. And talking to Boyd, talking about down in the Southwest, talking about the Hopi and the Navajo, well, talking about maybe there's something to do with portals, right? And then talking to Jane, she seems to know a lot about everything, but the idea of extra dimensionals and the fact that, and I've been harping on this from the beginning, how does Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, how do they use Bigfoot in Star Wars? You got your Chewbacca and the $6 million man fighting Bigfoot back in 76, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which all happened in the Ohio, Indiana events of 1973. So these people have had access to information that they can put out where everybody else gets poo-pooed and they're a joke and all that. And so just from talking to you guys, we are all, I mean, we don't know each other. We're all the same sheet of music. So I think that really separates us, and that really, this probably is going to be a demarcation point, at least for us, for the question of Bigfoot and what exactly is involved here. And the last thing that I want to say is I am so impressed by the people that are here. I mean, we have engineers, we have mechanical experts, we have people from all walks of life that are experts in their field. And so this is not your stereotypical, you know, what you'd see in the media about Bigfoot people. We've got some really on-the-ball folks here, with the exception to probably myself. So, we've got some fantastic people here, and you guys have all been so nice to me today and yesterday, and I really appreciate that. So thank you very much. So let's get into it. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm not talking about my movies. I want to talk about my methods. And the reason I want to talk about my methods is that, has anybody actually gone out and found indisputable proof of Bigfoot? Do we know Bigfoot is there? And has anybody found that yet? UFOs, aliens, anybody?
Without dragging one home with you.
Okay, but do we have something that science is going to accept and we're just going to go forward and move on and Bigfoot exists?
Well, there's things that are out there they refuse to accept.
Right.
Virginia, the DNA, and the dermal ridges and the footprints and the morphology of that. And
right.
They just refuse to accept that they've been on the records and they don't even want to hear about it.
Right. And I was talking to, I was talking to this young fella, good looking guy, this morning, and I don't see him here.
Well, thank you.
So I told him, and this is what I want to get at with you, is that we haven't really been successful, and you all probably have data. And you've had sightings or something, but you're not sure about what it is. So I'm going to talk to you today about what I did to test what happened to me. And I'm just going to give you the results. And you can come to whatever conclusion you want to come to. But for me, I'm a graduate of Washington State University. I have a master's degree in education. I'm very skeptical about everything. So what I found when I started getting results back was that the first thing that I found was that all these people that are not related, don't know each other, don't work together, and could not have possibly known what I was asking, they all came back with pretty much the same information. So right then, I'm going, well, there must be something to that. If it proves anything, I don't know, but there is the, you know, it is just strange coincidence. So I want to start off, and I'm going to go chronologically. I'm going to talk about my methods of research. And I basically just went out after the Nedelene Falls Bigfoot Festival in 2021. I went to Kelly Rainbow Butterfly's house, and she had invited me over for lunch, and Igor Burtsev was there. Do you guys know Igor? Okay, so Igor was there, and I said, Igor, I'm going to go Bigfoot hunting, and would you want to come with me? He said, well, where are you going? I said, I don't know. He said, when are you coming back? I said, I don't know. He said, give me 10 minutes. So 80-year-old Igor Burtsev joined the hunt, and we went up to a place, I'll just tell you that it's north of Colville in the Eastern Cascades. And the first thing we did is we went and set up camp next to a lake. And the person, that young, good-looking fellow I was talking about earlier, he had an incident in kind of the same surroundings. So we set up camp next to a lake, and then Todd had introduced me to a guy who I refer to as Little John, because I don't want to use his name, who said, yeah, you got to come up to my property, because I've got Bigfoot stuff going on up there. And so I said, okay, well, we'll go check out his stuff. So in the first movie, we've got three main players. We've got me, and I'm not really a main player, but we've got Igor Burtsev, and we've got a guy called Little John, because he's like 7 foot tall. And, you know, I just said,
he's bigger than you.
Yeah, well, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? So but I do want to keep his identity secret. He said it's okay, but, you know, I don't want people bothering him, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. So in the first movie, what you would see is you would see us checking out this activity, right? So just to give you a little bit of the Bigfoot angle on it, we went up to John's property, and he showed us these engineering projects, trees that are broken like this high, and he's like 7 feet tall. And how could somebody have broken that tree that high, right? And then he's got glyphs up there, and he's got engineering projects where they've stacked these logs in different ways. And so it was like, wow, okay, you know, and so I'm filming all this stuff. And then we went back to our camp, and I started camping, UFOs started coming across the sky while I'm sitting on this lake. And these were weird UFOs because they were shaped kind of like a pyramid with a bright light in front and then three or four lights in the back. And they would come across the sky and disappear. And then as soon as the first one disappeared, the next one would come, and that would go and it would disappear. And one after the other. And finally I said, Igor, get out here, you gotta see this. And then of course they stopped going.
It'll say
so we had UFO activity. And the next thing that we did, and actually did this before, is I tried to do my speaker thing, but it didn't work. But that Bigfoot call, right? So I'm out on this lake. If you look over by my super duper Toyota truck, you can see that boat. Well, I've got a speaker on that boat, that speaker, and I'm blasting these Bigfoot calls. Now, I don't blast Ron Moorhead's Bigfoot stuff because I don't want an aggressive something coming out after me. And so these things are very cheesy. They don't even sound much like, they sound like a person actually. But I'm blasting these in an area where it's just foothills, and it is, you can hear this for miles, right? And at the same time, I'm alternating these calls with music. I'm playing basically rock and roll, Three Dog Night, 60s stuff, maybe some Guns N' Roses, you know?
Yeah, where was that at?
And so Bob was talking about they play Metallica, and they were throwing rocks at him for playing that. I would have thrown rocks at him. I don't know Metallica that much, but maybe some people do. But
we're not mirroring.
So
for some reason.
So we're doing the Bigfoot calls and seeing the UFOs and going to see Little John. And the whole point of the first movie, and I'm going to give you a little thing my brother used to say about his girlfriends, well, she's not my best work. Well, that first movie is not my best work. So, but it lays down the foundation for what follows afterwards. So the point of the whole first movie is that after doing all these Bigfoot calls and playing this music for two nights in a row, John and I, or not John and I, but Igor and I were leaving the final day. And my tent that I'm using over here, same tent, same boat, same truck, everything's the same. I'm just a cheap guy that doesn't get new things. So anyway, the last day, morning we were there, I've been out at the Medellin Falls Bigfoot Festival. It's been 100 degrees every day. I am tired. I haven't slept. I want to go home. So Igor, let's go pack the tent. Let's go. Let's get out of here. So we go in and we're sitting, the tent is like right here. And here is where we're sitting on this table. And we go into the tent and there is a patch of blood in the tent that's bigger than this, right? A patch of blood. So the first thing that I do is, and it's on my side, we have a big queen size air mattress and it's on my side. And so I'm going, wow, am I bleeding? What kind of mosquito would bite me that would be that kind of blood? And so I checked myself, no, I'm not bleeding. And then so the next thing was, Igor, what did you put this blood here for? And so do you guys know Igor very well?
Yes.
Well, he's got a cantankerous personality. And we were trying to get him on the thing so to talk about this, but we couldn't. But Igor's, how would I put the blood there? We didn't have any ice. There was no way to store any kind of liquid, especially something like blood, to keep it in that state. And the blood was not like blood running off a steak. It was this thick, creamy, gooey blood, right? And so this is the dough moment. This is the Homer Simpson moment because we're out looking for Bigfoot and we've got some blood in the tent. We don't know where it came from. What's the first thing I do? We got to clean this up and get out of here. So I grabbed a paper towel and wiped it up and threw the paper towel in the trash. So you can see more of that from the in the movie and what happened with that. But as Doug Beecham, the therapist, said, actually that was probably better. There was some blood still left in the tent because I don't clean things up very well, and so I was able to later on go out after talking to Melba Ketchum. She said, go out, get swabs, and do this particular step by step procedure to store the blood. So I did that. I put them on swabs, I put them in an envelope, and I put them away. And I asked a couple of places, oh, we want $1,000 to test it. And I didn't want to pay $1,000, didn't have it, and I didn't know, well, I'm going to pay $1,000 so they can come back and say, it's this or that, or it's nothing, and you know, so I was really skeptical of that, so I just put it away.
Immediately.
So that was the first movie.
Yeah, I unplugged it.
And there's a lot more to it, and when you see what happens on John's property and the UFO stuff and Igor Burtsev's information, do you do something? You're just wondering? Okay. So that leads you into the second movie. And now, in the second movie, I wanted to find out, because I talked to a person named Bruce Trott. Anybody know Bruce? Okay, well, he's over in Chihuahua. So in the second movie, I just go to Chihuahua because he said, you got to come over here. He said, I've got a lot of Bigfoot activity. I've got the Chihuahua Bigfoot research team. And Will Ulmer had actually given me a map that had Chihuahua on it. You know Will Ulmer, Colville? Well, he's a big, very good researcher, very good and very thorough. And so I went over to Chihuahua and I talked to Bruce, and Bruce went and showed me his places where he had Bigfoot sightings. He also introduced me to a reporter and an editor named K.S. Brooks, Kat Brooks. And she said, yeah, I've gone out with Will, and we have done recordings where we had a baby with us, and the baby was crying all night. So we listened to the baby recording, the baby crying. When we played the recording, there was something else crying, like a baby. And that's not our baby. So this baby is hearing another baby crying, and the time is very important, the month and the time period is important, which we're going to get to in a few minutes. So in Chihuahua Triangle, we found the usual suspects, but what I thought, and I'd like to find out if anybody's had this experience before, is I stayed up on Bruce's property on a place called Trotz Ridge above Chihuahua, and it's up on the mountain, right? And I took I've got a FLIR, and there is nothing around his property. There's no houses, there's nothing at all, and I'm coming there by myself.
No, I'll let you go for me.
And the first night, I started hearing these dogs barking. And so where are the dogs coming from? And the dogs are coming closer to us, to me. And I'm going, well, where are the dogs coming from? And what's chasing them, or what are they chasing?
Yeah.
But whatever it is coming towards me on Bruce's property. So the next night, so I get out with my FLIR. And I want to know if you guys use FLIR for anything, because a FLIR will detect thermal properties. It will detect heat, right? So I put my FLIR out, and I saw, and it shows that you can't fake this. There is a field it drops from like 20 degrees Fahrenheit or Celsius, which is about 70 degrees. It drops about 20 degrees Celsius in a minute, right? And there is this field on the FLIR. It shows up as a blue field. And it's just moving through the area. And it's not the atmosphere. It is the land, right? The land is getting colder. So I don't know if you know anything about field. I mean, not pasture fields, but about like magnetic fields and thermal fields. But there is a field moving through that area. And so I went out with my, it's like 12 o'clock at night, and I'm out filming this. And that happened two nights in a row, and the next night, whatever was chasing these dogs, it was getting close. And I'm not going to be in my tent, you know, for something to show up, and I'm in my tent hovering. I want to be outside to face it, and at least get a recording of it so people can see what killed me. Kind of a melodramatic thing. So that was the last night I was there, and then the next morning, I woke up, and on this movie, Bruce has a cabin, an old house, really, on his property. And you guys have all seen Jurassic Park, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you've got the velociraptor with the claw. There is something inside that house with a huge claw. And I'm just sitting there in my shorts, no shirt, and holding my iPhone and filming it, but there's something inside that house, and it's clawing and clawing, and I'm waiting for any second it's going to come out and it's going to get me. And but anyway, I do the documentary, right? So I'm filming and everything. And I did it until it stopped. And it stopped, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm packing up. I'm getting out of here, because whatever that was. And I'll just say, I asked Bruce, at the time, I don't think he really understood what I was talking about. And then I asked him like a few months ago, I said, Bruce, what was that? And he said, I have no idea, because he hadn't seen the documentary yet. He said, I have no idea what that was. And so something got into that house. And the question is, and something we need to look at, is are these things moving in some kind of a field? Are they moving in a thermal field? And we were talking about multi-dimensions, we're talking about portals. Well, because now we've got physical properties, right? We have something that can't be faked, it's a FLIR. So we've got physical properties, and we've got some anomalous activity. And so right before I left, we went up to this death-defying road trip up to the mountainside where Bruce wanted to show me his other Bigfoot activity. And then his friend said, oh yeah, he said, I've seen Bigfoot on Bruce's property going through the trash. And so I said, okay, that's it. I said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. So that took me back to the same spot where Igor Burtsev and I were the prior year. Now, let me just set this up a little bit. I had just finished my 2022 campaign for Congress. Didn't win, imagine that. So I just finished and I loaded up the trucks, I buy honey, and went over and started working with Bruce. But my whole goal was to go and replicate everything that happened with Igor in the hopes this blood would show back up, right? And so I did. I went and same truck, same blaring loudspeaker and all that. And the only difference was Igor and I went in June, and this was in August, and that's going to be important in a little bit. So, as you know, as you can probably figure, nothing happened. Nothing happened except for this. For some reason, this herd of cows showed up when I got there. And they moved from basically the road where you drive in on, and something was herding these cows around this lake. And so one of the last things I did before I left was I said, I'm gonna hike around this lake. And so in Chewila Triangle, there's a, it's in the next movie, but these cows are up on this hillside and I'm down below, and they can't even really see me. I don't think they knew I was there. But they just freaked out and just started stampeding, right? For what reason? And I don't know, but I talked to this lady that showed up a little bit later, and I said, do you notice the cows? And I grew up in Squim, Washington. I don't know if you know anything about Squim, but we had cows.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes we went on a date, and it's hard to tell what your date was. So anyway, that's a farm joke. I'm not going to go any farther into it. But these cows were making these weird noises, and this lady goes, I've never heard cows act like that before. And I go, yeah, I don't know. And so anyway, that was the thing with the cows. So at that point, I didn't know, I hadn't got my blood, I hadn't reproduced my results, but I had seen more UFOs. And this time, a big orange, it looked like a tiny sun, went across the sky. And then, like you see a shooting star go across the sky, it was thick like that beam, it went across the sky. And these are not the UFOs I've seen before, but on the last night I saw those UFOs too, but this time instead of going horizontally, they were going like this, and there was only three of them. So UFO activity, and come to your own conclusions. So the last thing I did, because I'm at a loss, and I spent 4 years in the Army, 82nd Airborne, in the field all the time. I've been in the woods, Panama. I served 6 months in the Sinai Desert. Never seen anything weird, nothing. I mean, I grew up in the woods, spent a lot of time in the woods. I've never had anything weird happen to me. So when this blood showed up, I cannot get over that. And so I know you guys, when you see Bigfoot, you can't get over that, because that's weird. That's something you don't see, and you want to know what that is. So what did I do? I've got this friend named Simeon Hine. Do anybody know Simeon? Well, anybody know Simeon? I think Jill and Brett know Simeon. Okay. Well, if you've seen A Flash of Beauty, Simeon, oh, yeah. Okay. So, Simeon is in Flash of Beauty, and Simeon runs he runs a remote viewing clinic, and I want to say the name, but I'm going to be wrong. What is it?
Mount Baldy.
Well, it's Mount Baldy, but it's something to do with, anyway, but yeah, Mount Baldy is one. I called Simeon and I said, Simeon, look, I had this weird thing happen to me when I was camping, and do you think you could have, and this is where I'm getting into, maybe some of you guys are going to go, this is just too crazy for me. How many of you know about remote viewing? Mm-hmm. How many of you think it's crap? Why do you not think it's crap?
The government was pretty damn interested in it.
Yeah.
That's right. And so if you don't know this, one of the things that they sell remote viewing on, and this was, and it was really researched by the CIA that started at Stanford Research Institute with Hal Puthoff. But they started really getting interested in it in 1975 when a Russian bomber went down in Africa, and they couldn't find it. The CIA couldn't find it, and they wanted to find it and get it. And so the CIA said, well, we've got these remote viewers and want us to have them look at it. And so they had this lady look at it, and she found it right away. So they went and grabbed the bomber, and so the rest is basically history. But if you look into, up here, and I want to recall these names, but the people that, like, they found the rings of Jupiter before they knew the rings of Jupiter even existed. They found people on the moon that are not human. And so they've looked at a lot of things, and not to mention the espionage that they were successful at. So the Central Intelligence Agency and still uses them. And if you've seen the Men Who Stare at Goats, I've actually interviewed Ed Dames. You guys know who he is? So he's actually featured, I think he is Kevin Spacey in The Men Who Stare at Goats. But anyway, the CIA guys came out of that, and there was also a military army branch of that. And Ed Dames was an army captain back then. And they came out and they said, well, we're gonna teach people how to do this, and we're gonna make money from it. And so that's what they started doing, and enter Simeon Hine. Because they developed a aspect of remote viewing called CRV, Controlled Remote Viewing. And how it works, if you don't know, is they just put the information in the envelope, and then they ask them, to tell them whatever impressions they get from it. And pretty highly reliable, sometimes 60 to 75% reliable. But the key is they don't say anything, and basically it comes down to a string of numbers. And from those string of numbers, they come up with this information. Now, this is, I don't know what it is, I can't explain it, but it has something to do with the mind process, things we don't understand yet, but we are getting close to. So, I said, Simeon, I had this really weird thing happen to me. I know you guys are doing this remote viewing stuff. Can you check it out? He said, yeah. He said, I need the date, and I need the time, I need the map coordinates. And that's what I gave him. And so, at the time when I'm finishing up with this and I'm just going, oh man, I didn't get my blood and I don't know where I'm going to go with this, he calls me up and says, Matt, you've got to check this out. And then he tells me, so I'm going to explain some of the actors involved, because right now we've got me, Little John, we've got Igor Burtsev, we've got Bruce Troth, we've got his friend, we've got K.S. Brooks, a reporter, and now we've got Simeon Hine. Now, Simeon Hine has a remote viewer in Salt Lake City, and I'm not sure, I think he said she remote views for the the Salt Lake City Police Department. I'm not exactly sure about that, but the other remote viewer he has is Buddy Bolton, who, if you guys watch Linda Bolton Howe, he remote views for Linda Bolton Howe. So these two I feature, but all the ones he said, all the ones that he asked and gave this map coordinate stuff. And remember, these guys could be looking at a shopping center. They could be looking, maybe they're looking at a crime. Maybe they're looking for a missing person. They don't know from Adam what's going on. But when Simeon started sending me pictures of my tent and the lake, and there is a building there that, that looks exactly like that outhouse right there with the two poles on it, there is no way Simeon could have known that, because all he had was, you know, he could have looked at a map, but it would not have shown anything, and it would have definitely not have shown my tent. And the other remote viewer, and so in Cascade Bigfoot Blood Mystery Remote View, I feature Buddy's, his remote viewing session, because he drew all this stuff that, there's my tent, he drew the blood, he starts describing the actors, and they start describing what is the reason. Why did they do this? And here's where it gets weird. Because remember when I said I am running for Congress?
Yeah.
Well, Buddy Bolton comes back and says, yeah, this has something to do with patriotism. And this has something to do with social change. And this has something to do with basically freedom, right? And, well, that's pretty weird, because how could these guys know that I'm, you know, based on all this? And what does Bigfoot have to do with social change and patriotism and all that? But it's not just Bigfoot. There is a UFO craft. That is, and let me back up for a second, okay? Remember when I said we were sitting right next to the tent? I didn't see anything, and you cannot open my tent without sitting there fighting with the zipper for 10 minutes and shaking that thing and making all kinds of noise. There is no way anybody could have got into that tent and put that blood there. No way, no way possible. But somehow, these people did. And so Buddy Bolton starts describing basically an alien high-energy craft, and he describes somebody that's dressed in, you know, a dapper, I want to say a dapper don kind of thing, but a nice-looking guy. And what is it? What is the reason for it? Well, this is basically the maintenance of the planet, that whoever's doing this is just basically taking care of the planet, and this is their job, all right? Okay, boy, this is really starting to, okay, well, and so Simeon, will these people go on, I mean, I'm making a documentary, will they go on the documentary? Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So then he starts talking about, then we start looking at what Terry says. And Terry's in the last one, because these sessions are so, I mean, they stand alone by themselves. But I put Buddies in Cascade Bigfoot Remote Viewed, because when you see the, how he described the whole area, the situation, the reason for this happening, and remember what I said about that blood did not look like any kind of blood. I never said anything to Simeon about this, but he starts talking about a red substance that it seems to be coming up from the ground. Okay, well, all right, well, that explains how the blood came. And remember, please remember, I'm not saying any of this. I'm just listening to what people are saying and telling me. And if they're all saying the same thing, then something's going on. Now, let's start talking about what's the simplest solution? Well, how does Occam's razor fit into this? It's a hoax. I put the blood there. Igor put the blood there, right? That is the simplest solution. And if you were telling me this stuff, I'd say, yeah, right. You put the blood there. And what a stupid hoax, because there's nobody there to verify anything that you're even saying. So that would be my first solution. And so I said, you know, I'm a political candidate. I've been teaching for all of my professional life. I can't come out and say, oh, yeah, I go around seeing Bigfoot, and Bigfoot's leaving me presents in my tent, you know? Because that doesn't look good in the papers, right? Or at debates. So, in Cascade Bigfoot, in the final session, or the final part, and I'm not going to spoil anything here, but I said, well, I need to take a lie detector test. I need to do, and thanks to Todd, who also, Todd helped me out so much. Simeon helped me out, and then Todd started helping me out by saying, well, you know, there's a guy named Doug Meacham, and he does hypnotherapy regression. And if you saw Bigfoot and your conscious didn't pick it up, he can bring that out in you. So I'm not going to spoil anything here, but so I went through Doug Meacham's session. I went through a lie detector test that the guy that did it was like me, 82nd Airborne, but he was intelligence. He was basically a spy hunter. And he has the most sophisticated methods. His polygraph test, and he conducts a polygraph for people who are suspected of child molestation, of theft, of embezzlement, and his findings are accepted in Oregon, California, and Washington State, and Idaho. So if he tests you and he calls you a liar, you're a liar, and you're going to go to jail. So I went and I did the test with a guy named Ted Pulver. And so I'm not going to tell you what the results were, but in blood trails, remember, I have blood. I have physical evidence that somebody left in my tent. And what do we need to do with it? We need to test it. Thank you very much. So that brings up the University of California, Davis. Now, I'd asked another, Melba Ketchum had said, you need to contact somebody, do species identification. And I don't know if you know much about Melba's stuff, and I know there's people that have differing opinions of Melba and her findings, but she came out, and I interviewed Robin McRae at one point, who said that Melba came out with the finding that Bigfoot is a human female and X. We don't know what the male is, but Bigfoot DNA is human, female, and X. And so I wanted to find out, well, if this comes back human, then possibly it could be Bigfoot. And you guys are all yawning. I'm not gonna go too much longer. And I'm also gonna start yawning too. But I will tell you this, because in the last movie, I wanted to get away from the woo, as Ron Moorhead would say. I wanted to actually get science to verify or dispel whatever this stuff was. But at the same time, I've got Terry down in Salt Lake, and she's saying, well, I'm just going to draw a Bigfoot. And this substance, this is just oily. It's oily. It's like blood. It's like oily blood. Well, how did she know that, right? And so then she starts talking about, well, there are UFOs, and there are aliens involved. And so that's Terry. And then Simeon also had other people doing the same thing, and he sent me pictures of the Aldra Bigfoot. So, all right. Now, this starts with remote view, but I said, okay, remote views are one thing, but does anybody know Tish Paquette? I know a few of you do, okay? So Tish Paquette is an intuitive. She's a professional. She doesn't want to say I'm a psychic, but she says she's an intuitive. And so I called Tish. I just called her. And the first thing she says is, you have had Bigfoot contact. I didn't say anything about Bigfoot. I just said, hey, Tish, my name's Matt Hines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've had Bigfoot contact and you have had alien contact. Well, okay, well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. And so on the phone, she explained, and then I went down and in the two movies, I go down and interview her. And she says, multiple Bigfoot. And remember what I said about the time frame. And I don't know, Piff seems to know a lot about Bigfoot. That really makes sense. She says that they left you the blood because they knew what you were doing and they wanted you the hell out of there. They are having children at that time. And what is the time? April, May, and June. And in the and I said that in the first time, Igor and I were out there on June 21st, June 22nd, 23rd, and yada, yada. So when I went out the next time, that was in August, and I didn't get anything. So according to Tish, and this is for your Bigfoot researchers, Bigfoot has babies in the spring. But if you go out and talking to some of you guys, if you go out and you're looking for Bigfoot at that time, they want you out of there. They do not want you messing with the birthing process, and they don't want you messing with their young kids. So if you're going to go out in late spring, whatever, you have a good chance of pissing them off. If you let it go until late summer, any other time, you might be, they might be a little bit more receptive to you, but you probably are going to get a hostile reaction. And this is from what, I'm not an expert, but this is from what Tish said. So Tish also said that, and she said you had multiple alien encounters, which, you know, I said, well, when I was a kid, some weird thing happened when I was like 3 years old, but I don't know. But she said at that site, has anybody heard of the Nordic aliens? Okay. Now I'm gonna talk about something that Linda Moulton Howe talks about, and then I'm gonna basically wrap this up, because this gives you kind of a cosmic background into what's going on in our universe. According to Linda Moulton Howe and people that have talked that are communicated with these aliens, and this actually goes into the religion, the Christian religion, about the war in heaven. There has been, for millions of years, there's been a battle going on between the Nordics and the Greys, or the reptilians. The reason for the battle is the Nordics were taking the DNA of the Greys and Aelin, or whatever, the reptilians, and making little helpers, little slaves out of them. And the reptilians didn't like this. So they went and they started a war. And this, what happened on Mars, a big atomic blast, which was a NASA scientist has proven that there was two major atomic blasts on Mars, which basically destroyed the planet. Atomic blasts. And that radiation is still there and still present. And this is a NASA scientist. And it's accepted by science. But, of course, they're not going to say it outright. So going back to Tish Paquette, Tish says that these Nordics that are there are hostile. They don't like you. And they're not your friend. The Bigfoot, on the other hand, they like you. They think you're kind of a cool guy. They know what you're there for, but they just don't want you to be there. According to Bobby Bolton, and I'm not trying to tout my own horn, whatever, I just thought this was kind of cool, and I just wanted to look at the background here. If you look at my boat over there, and that tent, and all the camping gear I have it packed into the back of that little truck, right? And so I'm out there, I've got speakers, and I've got all this stuff going on, all of it coming out of that little truck. Now, these people are people that travel across the universe, and they discover, and they explore. And according to Buddy Bolton, he said, this guy's got skills. He's got skills. So what does that mean? But I think that's why Tish said, this is not Buddy Bolton, but Tish said they're hostile to you, but, you know, they're just basically watching you to see what you're doing. But if you look at the first abduction with Anita and Betty Hill, and the contact that the Nazis had with Nordics, have you guys heard about this? That Nazis said, we got help from other races, whatever. These are the hostiles. These are the people that say, and I believe myself, if this is true, that the Nordics do not want us to exist because they will take our DNA and make little helper slaves, the reptilians will. So what are they doing? They're abducting us and making little helpers, right? So there is one group of aliens that wants us killed, that wants us, they do, that, and you see in Alien, the Prometheus, that, have you guys seen the movie Prometheus, the first Alien? They say, we created you, and in Prometheus, they said they create the aliens to come and destroy us and wipe us out. And I think it's for the purpose of preserving that genetic material and not letting it be used for, you know, little helpers for the reptilians. But I don't know. It's just, this kind of explains why when Betty and Barney Hill were abducted, they saw Nazis. They saw people dressed as Nazis. This is why the Nazis had UFOs and were telepathically communicating with an alien race. This is not a friendly alien race, and what were the Nazis trying to do? Wipe out everybody, right? Wipe out everybody. So, with that, I am going to leave you tonight with that to stew on. Just as far as these movies go, we are waiting. Bayview Entertainment has picked them up a few months ago, and they're shopping them around, but they want to get the best deals and the best promotions and all that. But I will tell you, they saw these, and they said, we want them all. So I'm not trying to plug it or anything, but when they come out, they'll come out on Tubi and Amazon and all that. But I think, do you remember what I said, that I have the blood?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I sent that blood to UC Davis. I sent them $1,000, and the person I sent it to and talked to said her name was actually Ketchum, right? But no relation to Melba Ketchum, because I asked her, wow, what a coincidence. She didn't know Melba Ketchum, but they said, her and another person there said, we want that, we want to test it, so send it down and give us $1,000. So I sent it down and made the mistake, I guess, of saying, well, if you find female DNA and unknown male DNA, that might be Bigfoot. I had it back in 2 days. Not tested. And so where does that leave us? I still have the blood. It has not been tested. So is that another chapter in the thing? If there is anybody here who knows how I can get that blood tested, I will be glad to, you know, we have to do a chain of custody kind of deal, but I'll be glad to, you know, submit it to you. And
I do have a portable mic in case anybody has any questions. I'm more than happy to pass it around. So anybody has any ideas where he gets his blood tested? That's a question.
Todd Disitel.
Disitel?
Yeah.
He was with NYU, and I believe he's with MIT right now. He just transferred.
I'm sorry. No Dr. Meldrum.
No.
I want to have somebody.
Todd Disitel or Esteban Sarmiento. And I believe he's with Cal? I've got his phone on.
Okay.
With you.
Okay. Okay, right. So you guys, I'm going to close with that. But
you want to
play
a trip?
What's that?
You want to play a trip?
If you guys want to see them, but I'd just like to ask you, do you have any questions or do you have any comments? Yes.
Why didn't they test the blood for you?
Because I said, right before I sent it, I sent them an email, and I got this email back from somebody I hadn't been talking to. And it's in the movie. He's a PhD. He's like the intake guy and says, based on what you told us, we will not test this blood. So there you go. But I don't want academia tainting this with their, you know, crap. I'd actually like to find out what it is and what it came from. So, and then the other part of that is, this could be a missing person. It could be a missing child, missing woman, a victim of a crime, and they didn't want to test it. If you come up with blood, we need to know where that blood came from or who it came from. So I was just asking for species identification, and they wouldn't even test it for that. So. Now, let me ask you one more question. For all you Bigfoot researchers out there, would you consider, and I highly recommend, talk to Simeon, talk to Tish Paquette, and maybe you think it's crap, whatever, but if you have data that you can't understand, or maybe you think you saw something, or maybe you didn't, just call them, don't tell them anything. Just say, look, I want you guys to look at something, give them the information they asked for, and see what comes back. Because I think that we're not going to make any more advances than what we have in the past 50, 70 years until we start thinking outside the box.
Yep.
And there are tools that are available that that we can use now. So Simeon Heim is easily available, and Tish Paquette is Gresham Hypnotic Institute. I'm in Gresham, Oregon, so very easy to contact, and very nice, beautiful person. So, actually, so is Simeon. But and Simeon Hine and Hines, no relation. In case you're wondering if we're brothers or something. All right. So with that, I would.
We have 5 minutes. If you want to show a trailer, it'd be cool to see. We got set up.
Okay. Who wants to show us their trailer?
No.
Okay. Well, I can't work it. I'm not.
We got a projector guy.
Okay, this projector guy, Chris.
Crank
it up.
Let's see if I can get the volume.
That's me.
No, so the sound.
Yeah.
No sound?
No, I clicked on it.
And as I said, this is not my best work, but the point is this is where the blood actually shows up, and this gives you the background for it. And people that have seen it that don't like Bigfoot say, well, it's a pretty good outdoor video, so something like that. And I can't tell you where this place is. If you live in the Cascade Mountains or over by Colville, you probably might know where it is.
Let's see if we can get the sound in here.
There you go. Ooh, you had it. It's not on mute, is it?
Didn't look like it.
Well, you know, Todd, it's okay because it's just got music on it, so I can sing. I can hum.
Oh, find the sound. Please find the sound.
I can hum a few bars to, like, Stars and Stripes or...
Yeah,
we're
going to
have it here.
Oh,
there we go.
All right, here we go. Nope. Ah. Okay. Still running. Here we go.
The sound's already all the way up.
Is it already?
Done, and I thank you. This is how Spielberg got started.
That's cool.
Now, don't ever let any
Oh, don't ever let anybody tell you this isn't a real nice guy. Thank you, Todd. And Todd, thank you for having me, and thank you for having all of us. This has just been awesome. We've made a lot of great friends. It's nice to see you guys. And like I've been telling everybody, milking this joke, I won't see you in the morning because I'm going to do my Bob Seger impression. I'll be up with the sun, gone with the wind. Take it easy.
I'm going to just say...
Wow. Aren't you Todd Neese, legendary Bigfoot hunter?
I am today.
This is like deja vu all over again.
It
we
is.
We have to stop meeting like this because it seems like I keep reliving the same thing like that Groundhog Day.
I know. It's like the butterfly effect.
So have you seen the snoo?
Seen who?
The snoo.
No.
Aren't you going to ask me what's new?
No.
Are you sure? All right. Don't play along.
Did you bring the Hanway?
Yeah. Come on, Todd. Don't try to one-up me.